Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And it's very exciting times that we live in, and we want to welcome you that are here today and also that's watching us on our website, our YouTube channel, the broadcast app, or Facebook Live, and even our Dispensational Bible Church page. And so we are excited that you are joining us today. It is a little chilly outside. Last week it was the sunshine and beautiful. We was walking around. Today it's just like, oh, better watch your step. You know, winter is here. And so anyway, with that being said, we want to lift up our prayer requests and praise items. We do want to thank the ones that are donating towards the ministry through our donate button to keep the ministry going in a way of broadcasting through Boxcast. We do support a ministry, Grace School of Bible. Thank you. And so that we just send money to them, and then that's a great ministry. If you never heard of it, it's where the school that I went to, graduated in 2004, and it's a 3-year course that they send the videos with you, and you could study at home, and it's a great way to understand your Bible dispensationally, and the times that we're living in today, it will help you to understand your Bible dispensationally considered. So keep that in thought and prayer. Keep our loved ones in thought and prayer. The viruses and the sicknesses are still going on. This country right now, it seems to be torn apart. In a way of just, you know, people's own views or whatever the case may be. Listen, we live in the greatest country on earth, okay? There's no other country like this. And we've had the privilege and the liberty to voice our own opinions. We've had up until now the liberty to go to the church of your choice without any, you know, condemnation. So I can hope that you will continue to study the Word of God, keep searching out of the Word, not books about the books about the books, but go to the book that God has preserved in the English speaking, for the English speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible. And the way it's laid out, you can understand why we're going through the Bible dispensationally, okay? Times past, but now and ages to come. And that's what the gist of this Bible study is. We're going through the Bible in 7 hours. And this is lesson 14 we're coming on. And once again, you know, that's, we're taking our time. You know, I want you to get the information that you can see for yourself and understand it. Okay, that's the gist of Bible study. And I love to teach the Word of God. I love to teach what God says for us today and what God said for nation Israel and people to, and ages to come. So with that being said, let's go to the Word of God. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we think about the ones that are sick, we think about this country, we think about our president, we think about all the people involved and the decision makings. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, that he came to this earth and he died and was buried and rose again for our sins. Let us be mindful and thoughtful of that always. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, be turning to Romans chapter 11. As I said, we're in lesson 14 of Through the Bible, and we're taking our time about through these lessons, and then we're going to get into fundamentals of dispensationalism, and you're going to see a little bit more in depth of what was going on. Just the other day, I had a question on Facebook, and I asked, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, what dispensation we're in, and we're in a dispensation of grace. And a dear friend asked me, could I, you know, center what are the dispensations. I know Scofield and Larkin and many of them talked about 7 dispensations, but Paul talks about 5. A dispensation of promise, dispensation of law, dispensation of grace, dispensation of kingdom, and a dispensation of the fullness of times. But we'll get into that more in depth as we go. But I ask you to turn to Romans chapter 11 and starting with verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? And Paul is talking to the nation Israel here. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So the last several lessons, we looked at the stumbling. Israel stumbled at the cross, but they did not fall. Then we looked last lesson about the fall, that they did fall. Okay, a year later, they fall at stoning of Stephen's. They start to fall. Now we're going to look at the diminishing part of this period. So from Acts chapter 8 onward, the book of Acts demonstrates that the Israel's program is no longer continuing as it once did. So, but rather the replacing, but it's being replaced by the reconciling of the world. That's what verse 15 says. For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, that's what he talked. From Acts chapter 8 forward to Acts 28 is going to be showing that Israel's changing, okay? And they diminishing. Now, while the fall of Israel meant that God would no longer deal with the world, the Gentiles, through Israel, he did continue to deal with them in such a manner to provoke lost Jews to be saved into a new program being introduced through the ministry of Apostle Paul. Look at verse 13 in Romans. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So Paul, what flesh was he? What kind of nationality was he? He was a Jew. He was an Israelite. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew. That type of thing. He was also a Roman citizen, okay? So he had a dual citizenship. But the thing is, he knows that there's lost Jews out there. And once they become lost Jews, they're the same as the heathen that's lost. So when he approached them, he wanted to provoke them to jealousy. So we're going to be seeing some things today that you understand that this explains the presence in Paul's ministry of some Israel's formerly exclusive possessions. What did Israel have? Tongues, water baptism, healing, all that stuff. That was part of Israel's program. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, verse 22. For the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. So Jews required signs. Signs everywhere, signs. If they didn't see a sign out there, they didn't think it was from God. So they was a visual type of people. Many of us today feel that we need a sign from God. If we don't have a sign from God, God's not with us type of thing. He don't send signs like that today, okay? We have his word. Now look, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believeth not. But prophesying serveth not them that believe not, but them that which believe. So if people speaking in tongues today, they're the one that say they believe it. But it says what? It's
for the non-believer.
This is for why the reason Jews are speaking in tongues and stuff, to convince the people that they was God's with them. We're going to see that program switched a little bit. Now Paul and the Gentiles will be speaking in tongues to provoke those lost Jews and the heathen to come into what God is doing. It's switched there. And many people abuse this, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall what?
Fail.
Whether they be tongues, they shall what? Cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesied in part. That's what was going on. But when that, and let me share this with you, that is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a that. This is talking about knowledge. It's talking about tongues. It's talking about prophecy. But when that which is perfect is come, okay, then that which is in part shall be done away with. These are the words. These are the complete word of God. So you got to remember that, okay? So the tongues and the water baptism and the healing and stuff is going to cease. Now, let's look at, let's compare a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Look what chapter 14, verse 23 says. 14:23. We're going to read down to 37, okay? If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one of those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Okay? I'm shaking my head, yes. They would think you're mad. And they run out the door. But if all prophesies, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. You ever had that done? You go into some of these places, everybody's got this, got this, got this, got this. How is that edifying? If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let there be two, or at least by three, and that by course, and let one interpret it. You got that? But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak unto himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For if ye may all prophesize one by one, that all may learn and all be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is the shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out of from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think he is to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Lord gave Paul writings. Okay? What he's saying are the commandments of the Lord. So people should take heed to this. Go to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 14. I thank God I baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptize in my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. What does Matthew chapter 28 say? Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the what? Now what did Paul say? I was not sent to baptize. Mm-hmm. Okay? And by the way, when he writes that, that is in Acts chapter 19. And there was people there that knew the baptism of John. And they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. He laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Paul did not rebaptize these people. He baptized two people, Crispus and Gaius, well, and the household of Stephanus. He names those. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, that's 11, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the gospel of the kingdom. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You got that? Baptism, baptism, baptism. They're being identified in that kingdom of priests over here. Paul was sent not to baptize. Our apostle was not sent to baptize. Once you believe, the Spirit baptizes you, okay? 2 Corinthians. Hold your finger there, Mark, because we're coming right back there in Matthew. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, go get baptized, go seven times in the River Jordan, pay your tithes, join the church, read your Bible. No, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am made what? How many of us do that? How many of us do that when we're down in our infirmities and we're sick or something that we just want to glory in God? Oh no, woe is me. You know, we look for avenues, we look for things in that. I watched my wife last week. She was very sick. You know, she was weak. She was just couldn't move. She gloried in her infirmities. You know, so she knew who she is in Christ. Many of us should be that way. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In the name, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they shall they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall what? Wonder why Paul didn't get laid hands on. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I know why that, but I'm just, you know, getting you to think a little bit, provoking you to use your mind. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some manners of sickness, all manners of sickness, and all manners of disease. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So this is different in that program over here that God was showing, trying to usher in a kingdom. Let me share this with you. To go in the kingdom of God on earth or in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to be made whole if you're a believer. Okay? There's no sicknesses there. That's why he's talking about if you cut your hand, it's better to cut your hand off to walk in the kingdom. Guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a new body, a new hand, and whether it's on earth or in heaven. So with the ministry committed to Paul and by our risen Lord and Savior from glory, we have now reached what we call but now. Okay? And with that being said, that's where our mail is. You know, we talk about stealing. We talk about larceny, okay? How it is against the law, a federal law, to go in somebody else's mailbox and take their mail out, look at it, oh, this is Sherry's, and not have the authorization, and now I'm not Sherry, and open her mail up. Jim, you know, Walt, anybody, Tom, you know, anybody's mail. So that's against a federal law. So to go to the Hebrews and pull out their mail, their message, their commandments, their ordinances, and try to apply it to you is committing spiritual larceny. Okay? You don't want to do that. You have some mail in God's Word that will help you and I understand what He's doing today. So the entire Bible is what? For us, for our admonition and our learning, but all the Scriptures is not to us. And we're members of the body of Christ and not the only people that He has plans and purpose. And we shouldn't be so selfish to say, every promise in the book is mine. You with me? We can't claim that. You know, you don't want to play Russian roulette with your Bible and whatever it lands on and it tells you what to do. Take your children to the gate and stone them. No, you know you don't do that. But rather we must rightly divide the word of truth so we have the genuine application from God's words for us. And we can have abundantly and exciting times to have the word of God working effectively in those that believe it. Listen, there's people out there, you're out there maybe listening today that are saved, that understands that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you might be walling around over here and you're getting confused. And it feels like your spirit or your inner man is not being edified. That's why. If you trust what Paul says to be the gospel, the grace of God, and you trust that, and you understand that Paul's your apostle, and you have books to you, it's going to make a difference, and not only your Bible study, but the way you should act, should talk, should present yourself worthy of all vocations, walk worthy of them, that type of thing. But I know many of us stumble. We fall. That's the flesh. But look, it liberates us to power and to the detail of our lives. So the mutual faith of what we're getting ready to talk about is that Paul is our apostle. As such, he is a God spokesman for today. God, I don't think, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, he never left anybody in any dispensation without a spokesperson. Okay? Without somebody they look to for guidance outside of, you know, God. So this is the same way. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile, he didn't leave us without a spokesperson. Moses was a spokesperson all the way through to Paul. And many people today will still use Moses as a spokesperson. Been there, done that, right? Probably got a t-shirt or two. But Paul is the apostle. Romans chapter 11. Look at Romans chapter 11. We just read that a few minutes ago. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul is making a big to-do out of his office here. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by what? This is Paul's doing here. Paul is the minister of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. But be ye followers of me, even as I also am Christ. There's two people in your Bible that tells you to follow them. Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he looked at the 12 and said, drop your nets and follow me. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I am following Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, oh, you worship Paul. No, we don't. Paul has given us instruction through Jesus Christ, and we follow him to get instructions today. Listen, there's many of us get out there and want to do our own thing. Many of you know I do CrossFit. And we have instructors there. We have coaches there. And if we listen to them, because they're being instructed to teach us how to do things. Some of us says, I can do it on my own. And sometimes they look back and watch you and like, okay, you're going to get hurt yourself. And you know what? 99% you're going to hurt yourself. You got to be instructed. Many of you know I'm a licensed instructor. I was a licensed instructor in the state of Ohio for truck driving schools. I was a driver trainer. And people would come to me and I watch them from 18 to 80, you know. And they're like, yeah, I can do this. I said, you want to listen? No, I can do this. And I said, okay, I'm going to hold you to your word. And 9 times out of 10, they fail because of they're not listening to the instructor. So we, in Bible believing and understand where we're at in the dispensation of God, we need to listen to God through Paul to get our instructions. Be ye followers of him. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And that's hard when you're full of pride, and your eyes are blind and your ears are clogged. Sometimes you just don't want to be told what to do. You know, but if you really truly want to learn, you listen to your instructors. You listen to what God is doing today. And it makes a world of difference. You're not condemning anybody. You just, but anyway, I'm going to move on a little bit. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got his message, his revelation, his instruction from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. Not man. Not Peter, James, and John. Not the Council of Jerusalem. Not anything. Not after man. Ephesians chapter 3. One book over to you to write. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He became a prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. He's locked in. He's chained in for us Gentiles. If ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This is totally different than the prophecy program. It's a mystery program, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy prophets, apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This program we're in right now, the dispensation of the grace of God, was not made known back over here. You cannot find it in God's Word. It's something brand spanking new that God has revealed through Apostle Paul, and it's almost 2,000 years, okay? And God's in grace. God is dispensing grace. God is not dispensing law and wrath. He's not condemning you. We have a minister of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ in the world, reconciling the world unto him. Okay? He's with peace with us. He's not trespassing. He's not committing our trespassing sins against us right now. That should be a blessing to many of us, because if you die today unsaved, that's the only unpardonable sin. Let's move on. Where am I at? That the Gentiles, that's us, should be fellow heirs and the same bodies and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul's the grace giver here. And to me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Right now, Paul, in his writings to us Gentiles, and through his mystery program, is going to, fulfill the Word of God, and you don't have to speculate, don't have to worry. You have the Word, the complete Word of God today. You can understand exactly what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, and that should give us joy that we don't have to work under law in that performance-based system and work until it beats you down and you feel unworthy. God's not doing that today. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Timothy Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness, in a hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised something before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of our what? God and Savior. He's got something committed to him that God cannot lie, that he promised before the world began. Think about that for a second. God, before the world began, before he spoke world began, he had this time period, this dispensation of grace, this mystery program, hid in himself because he knew what man was going to do. But he gave us a chance on this earth to make a difference today. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. See, when you understand the mystery program and understand what God is doing, man, the whole Bible opens up. You're special. You're peculiar. A treasure, what God is doing today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of all the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sakes, which is a church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So think about that for a minute. What we read, all those verses and stuff, is what God gave Paul to give to us. He did not give it to Moses to give to us. So go to Deuteronomy, speaking of Moses, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 for a second. Moses was a big guy. He was a big to-do. Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I have commanded, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Even the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of our Lord and of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. You see what he's doing? Don't err from this commandments. Don't add to what God gave to Moses. But what did we just read about Paul? Paul was commandments. Paul was given some information. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 2. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath buildeth the house, hath more honor than in a house. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 44. And saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing the things that which Moses commanded for the testimonies unto them. You see how Moses' statue in Israel was, status in Israel was? Same thing as statue status of Paul, the body of Christ. But it wasn't the same message, okay? It wasn't the same commandments. And many people get tied up and confused when they try to take this program right here and work it into the body of Christ and into the kingdom of God. They try to bring all that into this, and Paul says, hey, it's diminishing. It's they've fallen. They're diminished. And that's what we're looking at. And we're in the butt now, right now, what God is doing. A few more things before we close, some things unique with Paul, our apostle. Ephesians chapter 3. We done read this, we're going to read it again. The body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy prophets and the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same and the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the body of Christ that he's talking about. Verse 1 of that chapter. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. That's the dispensation of grace. Acts chapter 20. The dispensation of grace. Acts chapter 20. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried the third day and rose again according to the Scriptures. Okay? That's the gospel of God. That's the gospel of grace of God. Okay? Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have I stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part as happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The temporary setting aside of Israel. That's what that is. What does Romans chapter 10 say? Romans chapter 10, verse 11. And get Ephesians chapter 2. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the Spirit saith, whatsoever believe... Huh?
The Scripture saith.
Let's see. Yeah, sorry. For the Scripture saith, whatsoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God one in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into what? There's no difference between Jew and Gentile here. What about baptism? There's one baptism. You're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all have been made to drink into one spirit. You see that? By one spirit. Okay? A commission you can fulfill. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting with verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read this again. This is probably the third time we went through this, but look at this. First, chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his powers. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things. That's a commission you can fulfill. That's our responsibility through Paul, the apostle, is teaching us and instructing us what to do in a dispensation of grace. We want to make all men see what is the fellowship of mystery. We want all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And by doing that, you put your faith and trust in what Christ did at Calvary. You identify, once you believe that he died, you identify with his death. His death becomes your death. Once you believe that you trust in his burial became your burial. Once you believe that he was resurrected, his resurrection become your resurrection. And that's what saves you today. And he seals you and he baptizes you until the day of we're taking out here, day of redemption. Okay? That's when he redeems his prized possession. So that's exciting to know that today in the dispensation of grace, you don't have to work for it. Okay? You don't have to pay your way into it. You can't. You're setting yourself up to failure. So if you're here today and you're listening here today and never understood what God's gift was through his son Jesus Christ, that's it. And that blood, when he shed that blood, paid. Actually was substance, okay, that paid that sin debt that you and I couldn't do. Okay? It was substance. It was real. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, even down to verse 8, that is a fact. okay, that you could take into a court of law and it would uphold itself. Okay? Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We think of things that we're studying in the but now period that we hope that will edify people, not to confuse them, but to edify them, to provoke them to study more their Bible, to study who their apostle is, and study who and how, what we can do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to help out with the ministry, we have a donate button on our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. We do have other platforms we're working on right now to get this message out. We are thankful that we still have internet going on and be able to look at you through the camera lens and say hello, and we're thinking about you. We love to hear from you, whether it's through text, whether it's through Facebook Messenger or even our emails. But let me know how you're doing. And so we can continue to lift you up. Love to hear some stuff from you. With that being said, grace and peace. Till next week.